Morning, everyone. October 10th, 2021. Inflation, unrest, sickness, death, disappointment, fear, confusion. All of these things are present in our world right now, but I assure you this is not the first time they've ever come around. Maybe the first time for us that so many things have co-joined, but it's not the first time in the history of the world. If you would turn your Bibles to Psalm 145:13. We read the verse a moment ago, but I want you to get the sense of what the psalmist is telling us. He says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. So all the civil unrest, all the warring between nations will not affect the kingdom of God because it'll continue to exist. Your dominion endures through all generations. And then this is the part that I really wanted us to hear. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. Then if we turn to Titus chapter 1, the first two or three verses, it says, Paul, servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect. That's us. To further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness in the hope of eternal life, which God does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. So hopefully you picked up on a couple of the key phrases that I'm going to be talking about this morning. The promises of God are infallible. In the Old Testament, God is often referred to as El Shaddai. The Hebrew translation or equivalent of that word is the Almighty God. And that's the way it typically is translated, Almighty. But we don't really sense what the Hebrew means. Almighty in what way? Does he have all power? Yes, he does. Does he have all knowledge? Yes, he does. But it's more than that. El Shaddai is the great promise maker and the great promise keeper. There is nothing that God says to us as a promise that he cannot bring to pass. I want you to think about that. Especially as you read through the Bible, I want you in the next month or so to look especially for the promises of God. The promises of God. I'm going to take just a moment and look at some of those promises. They're not nearly all of them. In fact, as I was doing my research, the internet says there's 3,571 promises of God in the Bible. That's 10 a day, folks, for a year. That was a couple of months ago. 3 days ago, I looked, and it said there's 8,088 promises of God. I don't know how that jumped 5,000. Either they broke the promises down into each individual aspect, or they're counting all the compound or repeated promises. I don't know how they did it. But it doesn't matter. There's more promises than you can count. Some of these promises are very specific. Some of you women are not going to have sons of promise. That promise wasn't made to you. That was made to Sarah or to Mary, the mother of Jesus, or to Hannah, the mother of Samuel, or to Samson's mother. But most of them are very general. And even when we think about the promises that are made to the nation of Israel, we think, well, what in the world has that got to do with me? We are grafted into Israel. Our branch is fed to the same sap as feeding that tree. So the promises that were made to those roots are made to us. So the coming Messiah wasn't just to the Jew. It was to us who have embraced that promise and accepted Jesus as the Son of God by faith, raised from the dead. Some of the promises are conditional. God says, if you do this, I will do that. But more often than not, they are promises, not a part of covenant. They're His word given to you unconditionally. This little book that I have here is 199 promises of God. That's not near 3,571. But I just want to share with you a few of these. We're not going to go through all 199 of them. But I want you to hear a few of the promises that God has made to His people. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 1 Corinthians 5:17. You hear what he just said? You get a do-over. You're not responsible for your past. God's forgotten it. If you are in Christ, you're a new creature. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. So not only are we talking about spiritual forgiveness, we're talking about physical health. If any of you is sick, he should pray. And I appreciated what Jim Bob said in his prayer. We know that you answer our prayers. How do we know that? Is it just something that we assume? Or is it something that God has told us and we can count on it? For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. 2 Timothy 1:12. I had to think about that one for a little bit. What have I committed to God? My family, my health. I don't know if you'd call it success, but just living the way God wants me to. The health and care of my children, the safety, because they're not under my roof anymore. They're out there in the world. The things that I've committed to Him, including my own soul salvation, He is able to keep. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Aren't you glad to know that? That He's not some arbitrary deity that man made out there that is capricious, likes you one minute and hates you the next minute. Going to bless you here and going to send lightning bolts there. That's not our God. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Death is our final act, is it not, as human beings? We don't do anything beyond death on earth. He'll be our guide even to death. So what circumstance can happen between now and the time I leave this earth that God is not my guide? And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forgotten them that seek thee. It breaks my heart to hear Christians talk about how they feel lonely and abandoned and where is God? He just got through saying, I will never leave you. Wherever you are, I am. We may not see him because of the clouds of all the stuff going on in our world, but he's still there. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. How big is your imagination? We have seen some amazing things with our eyeballs. Things that don't exist here in Scurry County, but they exist in the world. We've seen them. I've never seen a great blue whale, but I know they're there. I've never seen the Matterhorn, but I know it's there. So the things that eye hasn't seen and the ear hasn't heard, God is going way beyond that in providing for us. It's just amazing. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Brokenheartedness is not beyond God's reach. When we're sad, when we're at our rope's end, when we're desperate, God has only separated from us by a word, his name. And we say, God, he's there. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The whole world against us will not overcome me and my God. Now, a lot of these promises that we read are not new. They've been in the Bible and still in the Bible. The problem is we're not familiar with them. We haven't heard some of these. But they're just as real because God does not lie. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Amen. He shall receive me. Folks, this life is not all there is. And I think because this promise isn't as real as it should be, we as human beings do everything we can to forestall death, put it off. And yet God will redeem me from the grave. There's no place I can go that God's not. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. You know, that's not a promise that every employer can make you. Work hard, work harder, and I'll guarantee you there's going to be a payoff at the end. Yeah, hand you a pink slip. But not with God. Don't grow weary in doing right. Because God's going to reward that. You're not going to outlive your reward, ever. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. A lot of these, I feel like probably need a whole another lesson on with regard to heal, because the word that's used there is the Rapha. God is our healer. Yes, it includes spiritual healing. But more oftentimes than not, Rapha is used of physical healing. And then a lot of these promises we are familiar with, but I don't think we let them really bore into our soul the way we should. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's not some Christmas card greeting. That's the Word of God. That's His promise to you. He destined you from the very beginning, before you were ever born, before the world was ever created, to live with Him eternally, to share the life of the eternal. And James, you've done a real good job of pointing out there's a difference between things that are eternal and eternity. Eternity is time without end, but eternal means you don't have a beginning or end. And a lot of times we get those confused in some of the verses that we read, but I'm here to tell you, God's promise is you get the life of the eternal. You're not eternal, but you get the life of the eternal. And it'll last for an eternity. For the Lord your God is He that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. You face no battle by yourself. In fact, Jehoshaphat was told by God, the battle is not yours, it's mine. Yes, it was a specific promise to Jehoshaphat at that particular time. But as he restates it here in Deuteronomy 20, it's for all time, for all of his people, not just for Jehoshaphat. I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, Jeremiah 30, verse 17. First little sniffle, we resort to the emergency room. Now, I'm not saying that doctors aren't necessary. I'm not saying that medicine's not necessary. I'm saying that God is the great healer. If we resort to Him first, He can bless that doctor's orders. He can bless that medicine. But why would we put trust in something that's made by man when we have the choice of accepting what God has promised? Like I say, I'm not going to read all of these, but there are just some that just, I mean, literally are so new to us. And then some that we've just kind of glossed over. This is from Matthew 24:13. I know we've read this passage a jillion times. But did we hear this promise? But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He didn't say, he that shall endure perfectly. Just keep getting up. Keep getting up. Keep getting up. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That's God's promise from Proverbs 13:3. So when everybody else is shaken in their boots because they don't know what the future holds, you know who holds the future. And He's promised that you'll dwell in safety. May not look like what you think it should, but in God's eyes, if you're in His arms, how much safer can you get? And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That's our Lord's promise. I suggest to you the difficulty is not in asking. The difficulty is in believing. Oh, I'm not worthy. I didn't pray hard enough. God, this may be too hard for you. All the excuses that Satan provides fall before this promise. One more. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Our God is such a Father that He anticipates what your needs are. He wants you to ask, but He already knows. It's just like when your kid comes in after they hear the ice cream truck go by. They want a dollar so they can buy some ice cream. They don't have to tell you that. Well, God knows much more than that. And what is so great about our God is that He doesn't just know what you want, He knows what you need. A lot of times we confuse those two. We think what we want is what God has to give us. Be grateful that all your prayers aren't answered. Because God knows better. Matthew 6:25-33. Jesus is just breaking the bread, as it were, the word of God to the people. And He talks about the sparrows, the birds, and the flowers of the field. And He's trying to convince the people that you see them and you don't think about it, but God cares about each sparrow. He clothes each flower, even though they're here for just a short time. And then He winds that up by saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. What provision did God leave out? Did He say, well, I can do everything but give you shelter. I can do everything but put food on your plate. I can do everything but give you a good job. I can do everything but. And that's the devil. I can do all things. There is nothing too hard for our God. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. I'm going to have to read this one because it's a little bit longer than what I had written down here. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. However, as it is written, what no eye hath seen, nor ear has heard, and no human mind has conceived, these things has God prepared for them who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. So it's a double whammy. It's a promise on a promise. God said it, and He reconfirms it through His Spirit. Blessings exceeding our expectations. Our problem is we don't expect much. We already read 2 Corinthians 5, where we get the do-over. We're a new creature. John 11:25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. What comes after death? Nothing without Jesus. But with Jesus, resurrection and life. Can these bones live? Ezekiel is asked? Only by the power of God. Jesus says, the one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now we're kind of lapsing over from the promise into the area of belief, but the promise is there. The promise is there. I want to share with you in closing just a couple of songs. We don't even use these anymore. Everything's up here on the screen. But I defy you to take one of these and turn to any hymn and not at least hear the whisper of God's promise. Here's what it says. This is just at random. This is what it says in hymn number 31. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. And then flipping over to 178, I think. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. That foundation's not cracked. It's not moving around. It's firm. It's as solid as the Word of God. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. The soul that on Jesus has learned to repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, never, no, never, forsake. This last hymn is a little bit of a challenge to us. It was written in 1854 by a man by the name of John Bode. John Bode was an evangelistic preacher in England who believed so strongly in the promises of God, the credibleness of God's word, the power of his promise to lead us through life, that he wrote this hymn for his daughters who are about to go through a confirmation service. They're committing their faith to God. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, Jesus, let me feel thee near me. The world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me, and within. But Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Oh, Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend. The promises of God, as sure as you're sitting here, as sure as wherever you go, He is there. As certain, as uncertain this world is. So when you're filled with doubt, when you're filled with fear, when you feel your faith flagging, when you're not sure about what to do, when you don't know who to turn to, when you don't know what to pray for, trust the promises of God. Hopefully, I did what I set out to do. I intended to replace some of the fear, some of the doubt, some of the hopelessness, some of the regret, some of the worthless feelings with what God has to say, not what you think. Because if you dwell on what God has to say, our minds can be renewed. They'll never be renewed if we keep on thinking the way we've always thought. But when you start thinking about what God has said, what He has promised, ultimately, as we've already seen, what He and He alone can do, we should rest in assurance. God bless you. Hey.